Well, Exodus is a very big book, and how can we teach such a big book in such a short number of weeks? This is my challenge with the teaching team, Angus and others. So I thought we would look at what the New Testament has to say about the story of Exodus. That's why we looked at Acts and the speech of Stephen. In a few sentences, he summarized the story of Moses. And today, we've got the teaching of the letter to the Hebrews in a few sentences, summarizing the story of Moses. And wanted to key in on one particular phrase, which I've been thinking about so much this week. By faith, verse 27, by faith Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. So if we want to understand this morning, we need God's help. I'm so grateful to all who pray for the teaching in the church. That is the key to lives being changed. We are mere human beings passing on faithfully the words of this book, but when people pray for God's Spirit to take these words, wonderful things can happen. There were people praying before the service today, and they were praying around this verse in Deuteronomy 32. And I want to read it to you and then pray before I teach. Listen, you heavens, and I will speak. Hear, you earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. And so we pray, Lord, that you will pour out your Spirit in the kids' zone, junior YF, and here, as your word is proclaimed. I will proclaim the name of the Lord, praise the greatness of our God. We pray that as we leave this place today, we will know more of God. We will be more excited about the God who we can know. He is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. We want more of you, Lord. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Life is a journey. This is a phrase which I hear all the time. And so many things are said about life being a journey. Some things are great and other things are not so great. And I just got a few quotes here and you can maybe decide which ones are great and are not so great. Okay, so Princess Diana said life is a journey. That's quite, can't argue with that. How about Ed Sheeran? The main thing that you have to remember on the journey is just be nice to everyone and always smile. That's quite difficult, isn't it? There was an old preacher who said this: the astronomer will believe that the most erratic comet will yet accomplish its journey and revisit our sphere. But we give up for the lost who have not even wandered one half distance from the center of light and life. People lost on the journey. Another one: friendship has always belonged to the core of my spiritual journey. Learning on the journey. Transformation is a process. And as life happens, there's lots of ups and downs. It's a journey of discovery. There are moments and moments, deep valleys, mountaintops, roller coaster rides. My favorite one is Winston Churchill. Success is not final, Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. Never, never, never give up. And that is the message of Exodus, a message of perseverance, a message of 40 years of walking with God on a journey, learning how to trust, learning how to obey, walking by faith. If it took them 40 years, and I know it was because of disobedience that it took them 40 years, there was a much shorter route that they could have taken. They could have taken the way of the sea. Okay, there would have been Egyptian soldiers along by that way, so maybe not such a great idea, but it only takes a short time to walk along by the sea. But you can see from the red line that they kind of went round in circles for 40 years. And maybe that is a parable of some of our lives, that we are certainly not going in a straight line. We're kind of a wiggly line, or maybe a few steps forward, a few steps back. One thing's for sure, it's a slow process sometimes to learn how to follow God. And we need to learn not to give up in times of discouragement, not to give up when life gets confusing, not to give up when friends let us down, not to give up. Perhaps you're here today and you're just on the verge of giving up. And that's why I want to say we need a fresh vision of God so that we don't give up. We don't put our trust in human beings. We put our trust in God. So I want to look at the key to perseverance, the source of perseverance, and some of the practices which will help us to persevere. So let's read again this verse 27. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. This verse really confused me all week, because what I thought it meant in the first half of the week, I had to change my mind. But it's actually a better second half of the week than the first half of the week. You see, Moses had pretty spectacular experiences of God. He met God at the burning bush, didn't he? And through that fiery bush, which did not burn up, God spoke to him. And it was clearly God. The text says God spoke to him. God was in that bush. The angel of the Lord and God was pretty much synonymous in that story. We also know that Moses and the elders of Israel had a spectacular vision of God when they met with him at the end of Exodus there. We also know that Moses had this relationship with God, which was, he spoke to God as a friend, face to face. So when I read this verse in Hebrews, and it said, the way that we are to persevere is to see him who is invisible, I thought, well, that's really hard. It's really hard to see an invisible God. And Moses got quite close to that, but I'm never going to get close to that. So that's not giving me a lot of hope to persevere, because I have to have some spectacular spiritual experience. But it also says in Exodus 33, in that same chapter where it says, that Moses spoke to God face to face. It says, God said to Moses, "You cannot see my face because no one can see me and live." So maybe he didn't see God face to face. Perhaps it should not be taken literally. But what God said to Moses, "When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." So Moses had an incredibly close relationship with God. He had incredibly powerful spiritual experiences. Some of them were visual, like the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. When God's presence was manifest in invisible ways, but not all the time. And one of the things that happens when we read Scripture is we think that these things happen every day. The story of Abraham, we've got about three or four pretty spectacular encounters between God and Abraham, but this is over about 100 years. It's not every day. And if we have a relationship with God built on spiritual experiences, we're going to get discouraged quite quickly. Because a lot of the time, it's walking with no visible, tangible signposts or encouragements. It's like walking sometimes in the dark. And if you're like that this morning, then you have a genuine, strong faith, not a weak faith. Remember Thomas, who had the weak faith, who said, "I want to see everything before I believe." And Jesus showed him everything, his hands and his side. And then he said to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." And what this text tells us is that Moses persevered because most of the time he did not see tangible things, but he still did amazing, obedient things for God. When he was standing at the Red Sea and the Egyptian army were coming towards him, and he heard the Lord say, put your staff out. I heard a story this week about a man who was hanging off a cliff on a little tuft of grass. And it was starting to shift and move, and he shouted, "Help, help!" And he heard this voice in baritone, "This is God. Let go and trust me." And he said, "Is there anyone else up there?" You just think of Moses there with his staff. And it says here that he did not fear the king's anger and the soldiers. He left in faith. And that's what we have to do sometimes. We have to step out, trusting that God will be with us. So, better translation of this verse is to say that by faith, he left Egypt because he did not fear the king's anger. He kept the one who is invisible continually before his eyes. Now, at the end of our service today, we're going to sing, "Be Thou My Vision." We sing that every week, don't we? Almost. Because it's such a favorite. It's such a fantastic one. "Be Thou My Vision." But we're not expecting a physical manifestation of God on Monday morning when we go into the office. It would be fantastic if we did, But we're not expecting that. That is the language of faith. Seeing is imagining and trusting that God is with us. My friend, David Taylor, I mentioned to you that a few weeks ago that I'd written to him just before he died, and he died just before we went on holiday, and we were able to go down and spend time with Kathleen for the day before when we were down in London. And one of the last things that David said was to the preacher who preached at his funeral. And as the preacher was coming in to see him, and he was on his deathbed, he said, he's very good at Greek, by the way, Greek. The New Testament's written in Greek. And he said, this is what he said from his deathbed. Idu is a very important word. Can you preach on that at my funeral, please? And the word Idu in Greek means behold. Behold your God. Look. Look at how great God is. And it's the word that's used throughout the Gospels for seeing and believing. And so the preacher at David's funeral just kept saying to people, can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see it yet? Can you see it yet? And there were all kinds of people there, people of a strong faith, people who perhaps had a strong faith and were now no longer following closely. And my friend's life was someone who lived fruitfully right to the end. His journey was so fruitful because he continually kept God before his eyes. He could see. He had that spiritual perception. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it actually describes faith like this. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, and it's assurance about what we do not see. So that's the key, isn't it? Any doubts about what this verse meant about Moses? It's there in verse 1. It's an assurance about what we do not see. And when we're in the desert, we don't have the tangible encouragements. We need to have walking by faith, not by sight. What is faith? Faith begins by believing that God exists. But that is not enough. Even the devil believes that God exists. It is a conviction that what is said about Jesus is true. It's a conviction about the truth. And it's a confidence that what God has said will happen, will happen. So when he said to the disciples, I will go to the cross and I will be crucified and I will rise on the third day, what he said would happen, happened. And what he says about the end of this world is also true. It's a forward-looking confidence in the future. It's a hope about the future. But it's also about a choice. It's about a commitment. We're not forced to have faith. And perhaps you've been on that journey for some time, that journey of exploration, and you've come to believe that it's true. You have a confidence that what this book says about Jesus is true. You have a confidence that God is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and abounding in love. You trust what is said about God. You trust that although no one can see God, Jesus Christ, God's only Son, has made God known. You believe that. But have you come to a commitment, to a choice to follow him? And that is what faith ultimately is. If it doesn't lead to a choice of obedience, it's not biblical faith. If it's not a commitment, it's not biblical faith. If it's not a continuing obedience, that's why the journey is so important. Because it's about remaining faithful to the very, very end. Perseverance to the very end is what the letter to the Hebrews is about. Chapter 10, verse 36, they were suffering. They were being insulted. They were being discriminated against. They were being ridiculed. They were even being disadvantaged in material ways. It says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. In just a little while, Jesus is coming, and he will not delay. And my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. So saving faith is a continuing faith. So where are you on that definition this morning? Do you have that conviction? Do you have that confidence? Have you made that commitment and that choice? And are you continuing with him in faith and obedience? By grace. The other great encouragement in the second half of this week was realizing just how human Moses was. He was so reluctant. He was so reluctant to do what God asked him to do. But God graciously helped him. And even as we read the story of Israel, they messed up so many times, but that's what we are seeing here in this wonderful story. We're seeing a revelation of a loving father to his wayward children. As a father has compassion on his children, so I will have compassion on you. Psalm 103. For the Lord is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and abounding in love. He was even compassionate towards Pharaoh. Pharaoh who said, who is this Lord that I should obey him? God gave him 10 chances. 10 chances. He's slow to anger. And Moses made that choice. Moses made that choice. He chose against being the grandson of Pharaoh. He chose against the fleeting pleasures of sin. As many girlfriends as he wanted, as much food and drink as he wanted, because he was Pharaoh's grandson. As much money as he wanted, he said no to that prestige and power. He said no to these physical delights. He said no to all that money and that wealth. And what did he choose? He chose to be identified with God's suffering people. To be a Christian in Inverness today is to be very much in the minority. As you decide to follow Jesus, or as you step away from giving up and recommit your life to Jesus, you're committing yourself to identify with a minority people in a culture that is completely going in the wrong direction. I was on BBC iPlayer yesterday, and the amount of horror stuff, trailers for horror movies, I just thought, I can't be bothered with this. I'm sounding more and more like my grandfather. My grandfather used to say, there's nothing but rubbish on that devil's box. And we used to laugh at my granddad. And I find myself saying the same thing now. There's so much rubbish on there. How can a young man, how can a young person keep their way pure by living according to his word? This faith conquers. This faith overcomes. It overcomes fear. It overcomes discouragement. It enables us to make these tough choices in today's world. But it also means that we may bring upon us suffering. Moses chose 40 years of hardship in obedience to the call of God. And I'm convinced he never regretted it. So that is the key to this. It's the walking by faith, not by sight. But the source of that perseverance is God. And that's what we want to teach, that you'll have more of God. The great news is that God is a relational God. He wants to be known. He wants to be known. Yes, he's a holy God, and in Exodus, they're keeping their distance. They're coming to him through Moses, but now through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, we can draw near to God, and he can draw near to us. He's a rescuing God. He gets us out of the mess. He gets us out of our own mess, of our own making. We'll see that next week. He's a faithful God. He keeps his promises. He stays close to us even when we don't keep our promises. He's an everlasting God who never gets tired. Who's tired this morning? As the sermon draws to an end, are you tired this morning? Are you tired listening to me this morning? Are you tired following Jesus? Are you flagging? Are you stumbling and falling? Just what did we sing at the beginning today? Eternal, immortal. Why are you complaining, O Israel? And they did so much complaining in the desert, didn't they? Why are you saying, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. God said to Israel in Exodus 19:4, you've seen what I did in Egypt, how I carried you on eagle's wings, and I brought you to myself. Perhaps you've seen the Lord of the Rings story, and Frodo and Sam Gamgee, at the end of their journey, they're just about to collapse, aren't they? And you think, well, they almost made it. And, you know, they accomplished the task, but they were so tired. And then the eagles came and took them. That's what God wants to do for you this morning. Maybe you're at a period of time in your life where you just want someone to carry you for a few months. Well, God is the God that can do that if you ask him. He loves you. He deals so tenderly with us. He'll carry you. Do you want to be carried this morning? Do you want to be refreshed this morning? His love endures forever and ever and ever and ever. Just think about Jesus on the cross. That was planned for all eternity. He loves you. He will not let you go. And finally, we need to practice the presence of God. We need to turn away from the rubbish. It's just not helping us. We need to meditate on His truth. Yeah, we need friends to help us on the journey. We're not supposed to do this alone. And it's a long obedience in the right direction. Eugene Peterson has written a book called A Long Obedience in the Right Direction to explain the Christian life. A long obedience. Did you think it was a short sprint? That road, what does that road look like? That long, long road. Jesus said, I am the road. If you look to Jesus, you will work out where to put your next foot. And it's one step at a time, one day at a time. Look to Jesus. Talk to Jesus, the one who has made God known to us. He says, Thomas, again, who wanted everything visible, Thomas said, we have no idea where you're going, Jesus. How can you expect us to know the road? Jesus said, I am the road and the truth and the life. Come to Jesus. Fix your eyes on Him. The pioneer, the perfecter of our faith. He ultimately shows us how to endure to the end. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him. Think about Him. Meditate on Him. Commit your life to Him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you and me will not grow weary and will not lose heart. And He who said it will do it. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning for Your Spirit to restore hope in those who are flagging. I pray today for those who are thinking of giving up, that they will receive a fresh vision of Your love, Your plan, Your commitment to them and to this world. Unless You go with us, Lord, don't let us leave from here. And I thank You that You have promised Your presence. But I want to ask for You to pour out Your Spirit now on those of no faith, that they may commit their lives to Jesus. Those who are thinking of giving up, that they may hold on. And those who are getting tired, that they may be given fresh strength. There's those who are scared this morning, anxious. Your perfect love, Lord, drives out all fear. Pray you pour your spirit into these hurting hearts and give them a deep sense of security. We love you, Lord. Praise your name. Almighty God, we give you praise. Amen.